The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Headlines going up this evening will be one story. Let me see if I can just put this in the back of your mind so you'll look for it. It's going to be around 8 or 10, 9 or 10th down, maybe something like that. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Watch when a young student, this is about a 10, 11-year-old boy maybe, learns from his mom that school can't force masks on children. It's really heart-wrenching. This kid has got his mask on. He's walking up toward his mom, and she says hi, and she's holding the camera so you don't see her, but you hear her voice saying, we went to court. Court is a place we go when there's a problem. And we went to court, and we argued that the school cannot force you and all of your friends to wear masks. And there was a little pause, and then she says, and we won. You don't have to wear the mask. The kid just runs, sprints to his mom. He's practically in tears, hugs her, and it's just, she starts crying. I mean, it's just the amount of child abuse going on. And I'm not even talking about child murder going on, and that is going on. Just wait till they ramp up this 5-year-old injection thing with this bioweapon, which will sterilize little boys and little girls and kill a lot of them, at least earlier in their lives than they would have normally had. Their lifespans will be cut. This planet is under the control of satanic evil. Sorry, for all of you out there who disagree, that's fine, but I don't see it any other possible way. When they want to destroy a civilization, that which we have built here, a European civilization in America, they go after the children. That's what communists do. They destroy the children, they reformat them, or as they like to say now, repurpose them, into servants of the state. And in Charlotte Thompson Iserbeet's landmark book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, she documents the whole process every step of the way. Without that book, I don't think we'd have any understanding of the dynamics of this 100-plus-year plan to overthrow the education system and destroy the minds and the will and the joy of childhood. You can't put a child in a mask and expect him or her to grow up remotely normally when they cannot see the faces of the people they are talking to, their friends especially. How do you get to know anybody if you can't see their face? That's the game. This is pure, abject, demonic evil. Hello, Charlotte. How's everything in Maine?
You know, what you just were talking about is just, I mean, I've never, it is demonic. I mean, the psychological, it's the most horrible, the mask thing is the most horrible psychological warfare that has ever been carried out on this planet. And people just accept it. I mean, these people that are accepting this stuff, I'm, you know, I've got some of my own family. I don't, they won't even talk to me. They're all on board, but they are very liberal. I know people are saying, how could she ever have... I'm not talking about my own children, but others. And then I've got European relatives, and I just found something really good from a Belgian professor with all the credentials under the sun from the University of Ghent. I think I sent it to you.
Yeah.
I was really glad to find that, because Belgium, they're just... My relatives are just... I always thought, you know, they're quite well cultured and well educated.
Yes, they are.
And the math and science and everything. I mean, they're way ahead of us. But they've fallen for this same garbage, that it would be a compliment. This is the most evil agenda. You're right. I mean, no question in my mind, we have to give credit where credit's due. It's not fair not to give Satan credit for this. He did it.
He did it with maybe 10 or 15.
Nobody else could
do this. 20 million people at the most on the surface of planet Earth pulled this off. So probably far less.
You know, and you look at their faces. You know, truly, you know, even if you don't speak English language, even if Americans don't speak English, a lot of them don't, all you have to do is look at their faces, the faces of the people, like Fauci and Gates. And what's his name? Fourth Industrial Revolution one. And, you know, there's so many of them. We've been talking about these people for years. We've been trying to warn. We've lost so many of our great soldiers, like Joan Vion. And we lost Rosa. Joan Vion is gone. Reisman is gone. The greatest one of all, I think, Mary Thompson from California, who did the magnificent research. She was in California when the first horrible Robert McNamara PPBS plan came out. She followed it all the way through. She was close to all the parents at that time who saw the, you know, family life, education. Does that sound nice? They're all gone. And what bothers me so much is that, and it's not their fault, these young people, God bless them, who are fighting and being picked on by the commie Merrick Garland, our AG.
Unbelievable.
They're fighting a battle without any ammunition. Because they don't know what all of us have been fighting since 1965. Do you understand me, Jeff?
Oh, you're right. Oh, I know.
This has been going on. It's true.
It's true.
I mean, really, I will never forget in 1973 when they brought that program into Maine, and I challenge any one of those parents to find one that's worse than this, which was called Man, A Course of Study. And it was the Netsilik Eskimo tribe up in Alaska or somewhere, right? And it was just horrible. It was B.F. Skinner, Bruner, the whole crowd of evil people that I've been talking about for ages, right? They designed it, the MAKOS it was called. And luckily, what's it called, the National Enquirer? Because you can't get any other media to cover anything for us parents.
It's true.
That's why I'm going to ask a question later. A big question. Why now? Why is the media giving these parents all this coverage now? when forever since 1965, there's been nothing but a shutdown on the truth coming out of the mouths of parents and teachers. Why now? But I'll go back to the National Enquirer. So the National Enquirer did research on this program. Now, I want these parents who are complaining about critical race theory or whatever, you know, critical thinking. It's all the same. It's all brainwashing. Okay. The ones who they're complaining for good reason, thank God for them. But how would they like to have had way back, see, how old they were, their parents weren't even born when we were fighting Makos.
It's true.
And you know what Makos taught the children? About their grandparents? This is very positive. This is for our children to understand other cultures. Mm-hmm. About putting grandma and grandpa out on the ice to die.
Because?
Give me a better one than that. Well, for fifth grade.
Fifth grade. Oh, they're actually now, listen to this. I got a story today. Teachers are actually being encouraged to look the other way when fourth and fifth graders are involved in, shall we say, rudimentary sexual behavior on the school grounds. They're looking the other way.
Well, that's what's happened. And but my problem is these marvelous parents, thank God for them. I admire them in every way. However, they don't understand that there is a law. I don't know whether the critical race theory, et cetera, I've been trying to find out. I think it did have some federal money. I'm not sure, but this we have to determine. Because if it gets a penny of federal money, then it will come under the Protection of Pupil Rights Amendment.
Okay. These parents are fighting on instinct and intuition. They don't know where to get the information on
the fact we've been through this how many times, but we never had the media with us. Now that's what makes me wonder. I say, uh-oh, wait a minute, what's going on here? Is this the dialectic we're looking at? Create the problem?
It's not our media. It's not our media. It's not a news media. It's propaganda. It's mind control.
What I'm talking about is very important. If it's the dialectic, and I think it is, because they've never cared before.
What else is it
going
to be?
They're going to use this to give us something even worse. Create the problem. Hegel.
Sure.
People scream. That's the parents screaming. And then impose their solution.
Impose is the key word.
Yes, their solution.
Yeah.
Not what the parents want.
No.
I've been thinking about this a lot, and I am glad we're going to be dealing with John Goodlad because he is the number one change agent in the world. He's dead now. He was the primary change agent. And I'm going to read this quote. You have it. Thank you very much for saying what you're going to do with the PDFs. Goodlad said this at a speech. Let's see, it was in the NEA Journal, 1968. That was 3 years after the elementary, wretched, evil Elementary and Secondary Education Act was passed. He wrote this in the NEA Journal. It's entitled Learning and Teaching in the Future. Now, I want these parents, I do hope that this interview gets to these parents. Because I feel for them because they are on the right track, God bless them, but they don't seem to have any history about how long this evil agenda has been going on. And the number of great Americans who are now dead, who did everything possible to stop it. They were school board members. They would leave school board meetings and start their car and it would go flying off the road. because they'd had their tires messed up.
This is true.
These parents don't understand this history.
No.
So anyway, here's what he says. Quote, this is about the 21st century. He's telling us what's going to happen. Hmm? The most controversial issues of the 21st century will pertain to the ends and means of modifying human behavior and who shall determine them. The first educational question will not be, quote, what knowledge is of the most worth, end quote, but, quote, what kinds of human beings do we wish to produce? And he goes on, the possibilities virtually defy our imagination.
It's true.
End quote. Now,
what year was that approximately that he said that?
That was 1968.
About
3 years after the ESEA was passed, that evil bill.
He knew. Yeah.
All right, for education. Now, I was lucky enough when working in the Department of Ed, one of my little excursions, I was sent up to the National Institute of Education, which is the key place. I don't know why my boss sent me there. Sometimes I wonder why. I really don't understand why he sent me to all these, because he was implementing the thing. If you read Jake Kreisek's article on UNESCO and the whole international thing with communism and technology, my boss was deeply involved in that. That's why I leaked the document. But on the other hand, he would send me to all these special offices, like the National Diffusion Network and the School Choice Office and all these different separate National Diffusion Network was the worst one. That's where all the federally funded programs come from. The destroyed your children. I mean, look, we know we parents have lost children to these evil people. And, some of them even testified at the Hatch Amendment hearings. One of my dearest friends burst out crying in the Department of Ed in D.C. in regard to how she lost her son when he was 14. And he was being educated when they lived in the state of Washington. And for some reason, Hilda Taba, the Estonian communist change agent, was in that school, and she had access to him, and she never got over it. She burst out crying at the hearing in D.C. when we were having the 10 regional hearings on the Protection of People Rights Amendment. She just burst out crying. She's dead now. I'm just saying this for these parents who think that they are the first ones. I'll tell you what they are. They are the first ones to be listened to. Without having to go through what we went through, getting a law passed, getting regulations passed, et cetera, for the Protection of People Rights Amendment. And I urge those parents in Virginia and everywhere else to use that law. They have a law. Do they know that? They have a law. And the law would be no good without regulations. But I got regulations for the law. There's that article I sent you in ASCD Educational Leadership.
Yeah.
I saw the need for regulations. So the bill has regulations. So the parents who were having hysterics in Virginia and elsewhere, there is a law. But you have to check this out. I'm not unable to find it. The law will not apply to what they're talking about unless that program they're fighting is funded with federal money. Got it?
Sure.
It has to be federally funded. Oh, it doesn't have to have the whole thing. It could be just one small part of it. But it has to receive federal tax money in order to be able to be used by any parent who might want to use it. Now, Anita Hoag, great researcher from Pennsylvania, she won a case against the Pennsylvania Department of Education. So these parents could probably win a case against the Virginia one, right?
They could sit down with you for an hour and think of the direction they would get. You would load them up with you if they could sit down with you for just an hour.
They've been told not to because I am really crazy, evidently. Everybody's been told that Israel is or not. I mean, that's what they do with people who really know what's going on. You too, I guess, huh? I mean, look, they've been told, you know, don't listen to her. She's old and this and that. And, you know, things are different now. They're not different.
No.
I mean, I'm willing to talk to any of them. You know me. I'm still able to talk. But what I'm trying to say is that it appears to me that this, I don't know myself enough, the critical race theory thing, I haven't studied it that much, but anything that has critical on it, I know is a brainwash, like critical thinking.
That's a code word.
Yeah, absolutely. And with critical thinking, people are always trying to give it a, you know, a different twist, but I've got the Lenin quote. Sam got all that information in the original documents. Lenin, he defined thinking. He was, you know, he stuck to one word, right? He defined thinking as evolutionary, constantly changing.
What was it? What did he call it?
Evolutionary.
Okay.
That's the definition. That's Lenin.
Got it.
Soviet Union's Lenin. That's his definition of thinking. So things that are constantly changing. So that means no absolutes. When you see thinking, you start using the educator's vocabulary, huh? And I'm really, I don't know much about this wretched program that the parents are having to face, but it's no different. All I can say is I give you $1,000 if you could tell me it's any different from any of the other horrible values destroyed.
No, it's just got a new coat of, it's got a new coat of paint on it, Charlotte.
Absolutely.
It's the same stuff.
It's
just repackaged
the same
it.
Stuff. Yeah. So, but anyway, the four books, I don't think I told you this. I gave you the good lad quote. And then I give you his books, Place Called School.
No,
you can
I didn't get
these
the books. And I can't, and I've got Macaulay's statement, but and it says Professor Goodlad's statement, but you didn't put the statement in there. So you send it back when you can. We'll get it under your name. So just.
Oh, the Goodlad statement wasn't there?
No. It says Professor John Goodlad's statement. Right below that,
yeah.
It says Macaulay's statement.
I thought I sent you all of it, but I'll send it to you. I typed it first. Right. You probably got it early this afternoon. Okay. Anyway, but the books that were published, and this is what I was talking about, were very important. Every commissioner of education, state commissioner, 50 of them, right, received these four books in 1983. I found them. I found all the grants going out to these wretched tax-exempt foundations that funded them, these books. I found them in a supply room at the National Institute of Education. I was up there messing around 2 a.m. one morning. Huh? I needed a typewriter ribbon, and I went in there to get my typewriter ribbon, and I looked in the corner, and I saw this box, and it said it was the Goodlad study. And I thought, because I've been following him ever since 1973, when I found out about him when I was a school board member in Camden, how important he was, and I detested that man. And anyway, so can you imagine how excited I was when I saw the Goodlad study?
Oh,
and
yeah.
I got the box out, and there were all the grants to these wretched tax-exempt foundations to write these four books. One was called, Goodlad's book was called A Place Called School. And then there was one called, which is all about community education, which is communist education. It's the community schools that are going in now. Okay, communities and their schools. Schooling for a global age. And arts in the school. And don't think that's innocent. It isn't. There were those four books. And when I called to find out, I called, McGraw-Hill to find out when they were going to be published. The gal was very nice. She said, don't worry, you're the first person to call, even before the chief state school officers. That was nice. That was interesting, too. Oh, yeah, that was very interesting to me. Why were they all getting copies of those books? Because that's the agenda. Those four books. And you know what, parents? You can get those books and probably won't have to pay more than postage almost because nobody wants, nobody's interested in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people aren't interested in reading about what those evil people are doing to the country.
People aren't interested in reading.
No, no, but those books are, you want to get them, you know, they cost nothing. And anyway, so I feel that something might be, I may be wrong, but why, Jeff, you know, you and I can talk this way. Why all of a sudden is the media giving so much coverage to these great parrots?
They've been told to, or they wouldn't do it. That's a given opener.
What's the reason?
Okay, I don't know. Maybe it's to make them look like they're credible.
You could be sure it is not good.
No, you're right.
And the parrots better look at it that way. That's why I hope they listen to this interview, because ask themselves, why is it that hundreds of parrots, very knowledgeable, brilliant writers, they've written books. A lot of them are great. They've written many books. Barbara Morris, you know, I mean, look, she wrote two, and then Shirley Carell. I've got a whole list. I'm not the only one who wrote a book.
Right.
These parents back then had all written books, and they never got published somehow, but they never got any publicity. Nobody ever knew we existed. They're now dead. I mean, Maureen Heaton was the one who was working right close to Reagan in his office in Pasadena when he was governor and got a hold of his paper entitled How to Collapse Local Government. Hello?
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan, How to Collapse Local Government. You know what that is? Regional government, which is communism. That's Reagan.
We've had communists in the highest. We've had communists in the highest levels of government since the 30s.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And if you talk about things like that, you're going to be very unpopular. And if you want to be popular in the society, for heaven's sake, don't repeat anything of what I'm talking about. If that's your whole goal, to get invited to the next party or something. Anyway, so you've got some books on Good Lad. Now, this is the most important thing. I was so interested in reading this because it goes with... I'll explain that after. Anyway, Joanne McCauley's National Council for Educational Excellence, a national organization of concerned parents and educators... Yeah. Was founded in the mid-1970s. And considering the potential it had for holding the line on innovations taking place in American education, its early demise, of course, they caused that, right? The enemy, represented a real setback for parents, children, and teachers. Ms. McCauley's May-June 1977 issue of her newsletter, The School Bell, mm-hmm. is proof that now school board members, these great gals and guys down there, this is going to be dealing a bit with the National School Board Association. So that's what we're going to read about now. All right. Her May-June 1977 issue of her newsletter, The School Bell, is proof that the National School Boards Association was at one time a strong proponent of local control, not a, quote, sell-out the locals organization that in the 1990s, because we were writing this was in my book, right? This was the preface to the quote. In the 1990s would support site and school-based management, taxation without representation, and charter schools. Now, here are the excerpts. And I want to tell your listeners, I mean, these parents that I went down to Tulsa, Oklahoma for a meeting that Joanne McCauley had. And there were parents from probably one from every state. It was a fascinating meeting. We were all talking about what's going on. And we learned
this
a lot.
This is in the 70s, friends.
Yes,
so you know.
And I remember telling them about Maine, how we had this little program called Magic Circle, where the children would all sit in a circle, and the teacher's in the middle, and she'd tell them, now, we're all going to talk about what goes on at home, and don't you worry. This won't get outside of our circle. This is real brainwashing, unbelievable, finding out everything about that. Anyway, so here I'm telling them that, you know, I'm thinking, oh, well, you know, they've got very
They're training our children to be snitches. Come on,
oh, yeah.
And worse.
It's a group process, and it comes out of communist China, the group process, okay?
Right.
And we have the headquarters for the National Training Laboratory in Bethel, Maine. So, of course, we would be one to get this first. This was in the early 70s. And so I tell them about that. They're all looking at me like they're from New York, New Jersey, California, everywhere, these parents. And they're going, what? And I thought, you don't have this? And they said, no, we don't have that. You mean all the little kids are all talking about what goes on at home? I said, yeah, all in the circle. They're having a great time. Of course, some of them are lying, too, you know how children are. Good they were lying, not telling what really was going on. They had a little
To me, that's the most dangerous part of it, Charlotte, is kids can't be relied upon.
My son brought his home. It was all called All About Me with a smiley face on the page. All About Me. That was in the mid-70s.
Yeah.
And they're asking them to tell all these stories about your brother, your parents, this, that, and all. And, you know, aside from what was really bad, it encourages them to lie.
Oh, it entices
Because they're not
going to
tell everything
them.
About their parents.
Sure. And it ultimately rewards them. Sure.
This was in the mid-70s. I'm saying this for these parents in Virginia. I don't think they know. I mean, do they know about the MACOS program?
I know.
About putting grandma and grandpa out on the ice to die? They've got to understand the history. Now, they can get, you see, these hearings that were held for the Protection of People Rights Amendment, we had to have, I was the one who got all the people to testify because I was in the department. I knew how to do it. Huh? And these were parents and teachers. They all went in and testified about these horrible programs that were coming out of the United States Department of Education, mostly the National Diffusion Network.
Uh-huh.
And so I got their testimony. They wrote it, and then I gave it to Phyllis Schlafly. She put it into the book, Child Abuse in the Classroom, which is a very valuable book. And it's a free PDF.
Yeah, I'm going to have it all listed below Charlotte's name when the webmaster gets caught up.
Yes, I mean, they can go and download that free PDF, which is a testimony of all those parents in 1982 or whatever, who went. We had 10 hearings in the 10 regions around the United States. All these parents went and testified. It was remarkable what they did. And so the testimony is there in the book. It's called Child Abuse in the Classroom, and it's edited by Phyllis Schlafly. And, you know, thank God she did it. It's a very valuable book, and I'm afraid it's been sort of forgotten. This is testimony where you will find you parents who are fighting right now, you're going to read about these horrendous programs that our children who are now, you know, in their 50s and 60s were exposed to back then. So it's not just you. It didn't start with you. You are at the end of the line. And that scares me to death. Because why would they be giving you any time at all? We weren't given any time, right? We had to fight for the protection. We fought hard to get that bill passed. But as far as having any time in our communities or any time from the press across the United States, we were boycotted across the board. This group of parents in Virginia, it's the first time I have ever seen parents being able to get media. Now, you have to ask yourself, is that good or bad? Why? Why are you getting this media? What have they got up their sleeves for you?
They've got an agenda behind this. We know it. We just don't know what it is
yet. We hit the nail square on the head. So the parents, Don't let all the good work they've done be taken down, huh? You've got to be very, very careful. Now, of course, we've got that Merrick Garland. I mean, what a nerve the Attorney General had to go against the local school boards. What a nerve. I mean, this is part of this article I have is what's the name of this marvelous well, the book is called the book written by this school. Wait a minute. I thought I sent that to you. River of Pollution.
What is it?
I have to give this to you. River of Pollution.
Okay, I don't know this one.
Well, right. I'm going to send it to you.
You want me to read the critical race? Do you want me to read the critical race piece? We don't have a whole lot of time here. I want to. If you want that read, or you need to finish.
Well, the critical race thing? Yes. What is it? Oh, you mean the National School Board Association thing?
Yeah, but I think that's already.
Okay, let's do that. But let's not forget what I.
You've already read Macaulay.
Yep.
Is this the same Macaulay? It looks like it. Yeah.
Yes, but when we get finished with that, what you've got to do, the parents, they've got to, River of Pollution, they have to go on the Internet for that, because that was the school board director from Pasadena way back who wrote it. Okay. It's probably the most, it's in the congressional record. Congressman, what's his name, from Louisiana.
Rarick.
He put the whole thing, the whole book, The River of Pollution, mm-hmm. by this school board member, whose name escapes me at the moment.
Dr. Joseph Bean.
What? Yes.
Dr. Joseph Bean.
In the congressional record. Right. And what he says, and the parents will like this, he was a school board member. This is in the early 70s. He said, the most important elected official in the United States is elected school board member.
Wow.
Now, these parents, they better remember that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because that's why they're going after them.
Right, right.
They I've want never to seen tear more... down all the school boards, elected officials and school boards.
Mm-hmm.
They're starting in Virginia.
At the very least, they need to all be replaced. You've seen, every time I see a video of a school board meeting and a parent is standing up.
Oh, it's very bad.
Someone,
they have to be replaced. That's right. But they're still there, see? The entity still exists.
I know. And they are up in these chairs, and they're sitting higher up than the people who are giving testimony. They're looking down at them. They're so arrogant, it's unbelievable.
Well, it's terrible, and you're only allowed to have about a minute to speak now.
That's the same with everything,
you know, even going to selectmen meetings and everything. But we cannot, because talking about Jacob Bean, what he said, and his book is, the entire book is published in the Congressional Record, his book.
Rarick
put that book in there.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine putting a whole book in?
No.
He did, because he considered it to be the most important book.
Mm-hmm.
River of Pollution.
Right.
Now, that's a good definition of that program the parents are fighting.
You can get it at Amazon, friends.
Yeah, you still
can. River of Pollution. All right, it's available.
River of Pollution by Jacob Bean.
From Glendale, California.
Yep. These were those great Americans. They're all dead now. I knew some of them. I'm so old. See, I'm still around to be able to tell people about the towns as the National Educator, that great little newspaper of Southern California. They knew. They also knew what Reagan was. Those people all knew what he really was. And but they're all dead now, I think. I'm glad. I'm lucky I'm still alive. Huh? And so I can talk to people about these things.
You've got work to do.
What?
You have work to do. You're supposed to be here.
I guess, you know. But But we did read this thing, didn't we? The National School Board Association president tells board, stand up to federal meddling. On March 27, George Smith, immediate past president of the National School Boards Association, warned school board members attending the NSBA convention in Houston that the Congress and the federal bureaucracy, now listen to this, could become the country's master school board unless school board members stand up and be counted. It would be great for them to, for these parents in Virginia to use this quote to go up against that wretched attorney general. They're only doing what they were elected to do, the school board members.
Right.
And now, you know, they're elected. Who is it that pays for them to get in there? Bill Gates and Fauci and the whole wretched crowd are the ones that are getting these bad school board members elected, putting money in there. He urged delegates to continue to forge a strong National School Board Association to convince Congress that local school board members are truly representative, most unselfish, this is the way they used to be, and the best qualified persons to represent the local viewpoint in education. Well, see, that's, they've got to get rid of that. Get it so bad, which it is now. They're all commies on the boards now, right?
Get
it so bad that people could say, let's get rid of school boards, okay? All right, now, so Smith said local constituencies cannot be forgotten even while the new trust is being built with Congress. We, quote, we must not forget our own constituency, you know. He also advised board members to be aware of and leery of, now listen to this, those parents out there who are going for school choice and charters and everything, listen. Leery of proposals for public involvement in public school operations that would shift decision-making authority to, quote, vaguely defined groups of citizens at the school site level. That's charter schools, too. The minister from San Diego cautioned that the power to make a decision must never be divorced from the responsibility for making that decision. He said school boards must be strong for another reason, to counter the movements of the courts, hello, Merrick Garland, and federal regulatory agencies into the operation of schools. Hey, that's important, isn't it? Mr. What's-his-name, Garland, huh? Quote, if we want other governmental units to stop eroding our ability to provide educational governance, we must exercise that ability more often and more effectively, Smith said. Where we can, we should work together with all segments of the public toward the improvement of the schools. But he concluded, our responsibility is to all the people, and we must view only the big picture. We noted in my book, Deliberate Dummy Down, Smith's ability to foresee the implementation of the site-based management downgrading of the importance of elected board members and the transfer of power to public-private partnerships is to be lauded. Now, so anyway, I don't even dare look at the time.
We're going to have a lot. About seven, 8 minutes.
There, but I think that, let's see, I've written this down, big red pen.
Let me say one thing. Charlotte, can you do this? What? Let's say we've got parents listening out there who are maybe thinking a couple of them running for school board, whatever, but they're interested in their children's future and our future. Could they set up with you a phone conference chat? I'm just putting this out there, and I want all you to know that Charlotte is a piece of living history here. She knows, and if you want to talk to her, she'll work with you. So you can set up a conference, get 10 or 15 of you in a room, and set up a conference call, and she'll do it. So that's blessed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If lots of parents, they're all tech-oriented. I'm not. Let them set it up, and then they can just call me.
You can just
me.
Talk on your phone. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that I hope that they understand from what I've said today that the situation for parents has been far worse. I mean, look, ask yourself, what if we hadn't fought I mean, when you think that back in the early 70s, we had that horrible program, which was devised by the key people destroying your children, like B.F. Skinner and Jerome Bruner and the rest of them. They devised that program, Man, A Course of Study, that was teaching our children about when your grandparents get old, you put them out on the ice to die. So don't think that what you've got is so bad.
Remember these questions they're giving kids? If you had to pick one member of your family who wouldn't make it, who would die in your lifeboat, what the hell kind of questions are those? Yeah. That's the lifeboat question.
I mean, we had, okay, get the book. I want every parent listening to buy that book at Amazon or wherever. Child Abuse in the Classroom. Buy it. It's also a free PDF. I sent you the PDF, Jeff.
Yeah.
You see it?
And we're going to get this put up in Guests under Charlotte's name. We've got a lot of stuff to put up there, so it'll be up there.
Because the PDF is fine, but they can. I think it's probably $25 or $30. I don't know how much that book is. But can you imagine how valuable that is? Because that's testimony from parents like these parents who are fighting now.
Yeah. Well,
they
also put it under Charlotte.
10 different places across the country. These were Department of Education hearings. And this is their testimony about these dreadful programs about which you parents know nothing. I don't think you do. Maybe drawing the wrong conclusion.
No, they need the history. That's what you're offering. This has roots.
Yes.
What you're seeing now has roots that go back 100 plus years.
That's right. And it's not their fault when I say they don't have it. How would you know? Because they've done everything possible.
Right.
To keep you from knowing. And it is great that Phyllis published those hearings. You know, I'm very, very grateful.
Phyllis was another giant, and they're all gone except you.
Yes. And
Judith,
it's very important that
when we lost Judith
before
Reisman,
I died, what?
When we lost Judith, that was a big blow. She was another. Judith Reisman.
Oh, horrible. Look
another
at the people
one.
We lost. Mary Thompson, these were all very close to me, especially Mary Thompson, California. She was there when Department of Defense, what do you call him? He was the head of the Department of Defense. He set up the
Secretary
planning, programming, budget management system in California, in the 60s. And Mary was around. I wasn't around then. And she gave a wonderful talk. You can look in my book under Thompson about PPBS. That was Robert McNamara. Remember him, Secretary of Defense?
Sure.
Yeah. He was the one. She's got that whole statement in there. Now, so Mary was incredible. We lost Peggy Cuddy, too, which you may not know her, but she's Dennis Cuddy's mother. Great writer, great thinker. Mm-hmm. We lost Rosa very early on. That's terrible. And, of course, Judith, who I consider to be one of the greatest friends of the children that ever existed. So we've lost a lot of these great people.
But listen, let me say something before we keep going on about this. This is important. All of you out there, every single one of you who is involved in this movement to try to save some of our children at least, get the book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. It's a Bible. It's all there. It's almost all there.
Well, they have to get the PDF because they can't pay $700 for it.
I understand. But the PDF is available. Tell them where they can get the PDF.
It's a free PDF, but just type it in into your search engine, deliberatedumbingdown.com. It's at my website. My website is deliberatedumbingdown.com. And everything I've ever written, said, whatever, is there at that website. I mean, that's just a jewel, that website, deliberatedumbingdown.com. I mean, you parents, if you can't reach me or something, I really would like to do what Jeff says we should do, but that website is a treasure. You will find everything there that you need.
It's a commie killer.
Oh,
that's
it really is. I'm surprised that it hasn't been, Everything since the mid-70s that I've ever written, probably not, I think it's more like the mid-80s because, you know, no technology, huh? But anyway, very, very important articles. All the research, not just mine that I've written, but documents out of the Department of Ed, out of UNESCO, out of the Soviet Union. Everything you need.
It's all there.
Yeah.
That's your guide. And do think about that. If you have a group that gets together in your community, work it out so you can get Charlotte on the phone. She'll do Q&A and whatever you want. And use this resource. She's like a living library.
Well, I'd love to help them as long as they do all that nasty tech work that I'm bad at. And I want them to know, as we close this interview, that I admire them all enormously, and I understand because they didn't have the background information, for instance, that there is a law, a federal law. They don't even know that, right? But nobody wants them to know that. But so there are things that they didn't know. It's unlikely they can use it because I don't know whether this program, how much federal money it gets. If it gets federal money, you can use it. If the critical race theory gets federal money, it probably does, you know.
I think
they're trying to be a little bit careful about that, though. But anyway, all I can say is I'm here to help you, and I also have a lot of documents, you know, that AmericanDeception.com, Sam's website, is loaded with PDFs. And on education as well, which would be very helpful to all the parents. Go there, AmericanDeception.com. And it lists all the different categories, you know, like education,
sure,
secret societies, blah, blah, blah. And I wish them lots of luck. But I want to ask this kind of question again. Ask yourself, why? Why now? Have you been given a voice, even though they're mad at you, right? But why are they allowing this? They never did it before. You have to make sure you're not being sucked into a trap.
No setups, yeah.
Using the dialectic. See?
Yep.
You create the problem, get you all to scream, see? And then they come and they, you know, they give you a nice solution. And be careful. Be very careful. Because they're nothing but evil.
Oh, total truth.
It's lucky I'm as old as I am because maybe they could come and kill me one of these days.
They're not going to mess with you. What's this cold? What's this cold you have? Sniffles. Is it fall cold?
I know. Well, I do, but it's all. Look, don't call my missing teeth a cold.
I didn't talk about your missing. Nobody knows until you just
said
that.
Well, that's what it is, and I keep waiting for an appointment because with COVID, nobody can take you for months on end. And that's why I sound like this. It's not a cold.
You sound
fine. It's because I'm missing some of my chompers.
All right. And you ran out of peanut butter.
Yeah, I did. You know what? Did you get your peanut butter?
No, I didn't.
You haven't had any presents from me lately?
No.
No. Well, it's because I've been awfully busy with
I know,
my
not
ailments.
To worry. No, I know. Not to
well,
worry.
Anyway,
I'm going to send you
parents.
Some. I need to what? Send you some. I'm going to send you some thieves oil.
Yeah, you'll better
never
do
have
that.
You'll never have a tooth infection again.
All right, would you do that, please? You always say you're going to do these things, and then you don't.
Come on, how many times have I?
I had a fight with the people that were selling it the last time around.
I did. No, that's the only thing I haven't been able to come through with, and I did. I had a big scene with them. All right, I'll get on it. We'll get it.
All right, where are we? What's the date today? Are we moving into Halloween? Yeah, happy Halloween, Jay. Happy Halloween.
It's Halloween's the 31st. It's the 8th today, so we got time.
Getting close to my birthday.
Well,
anyway, it's always good. God bless all of you, and
Thank you.
You know, the parents should be proud of themselves in a way that they got the,
oh, yes.
They got the attention of these monsters.
It's true.
But you have to ask yourself, why? Ordinarily, they stay silent. They don't want anybody to know that they're, you know. So be very careful.
It is odd. It's odd.
Faites attention. That's in French.
I like it.
You speak French?
I got an F in French.
Hmm?
I didn't do well in French.
Yeah, but I thought you were part French.
No. My grandfather married into the family. He was a French chef, but that was by marriage, not genetics.
Oh, he's the one that I remember all the time, because who would ever forget a French chef?
Oh, that's right.
Lucky you. Did he cook for you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was a chef at Ciro's in Hollywood for about 10 years, and he was at the Herman Hoover's New York, I forget, Waldorf? I don't remember where it was. He studied with Escoffier as a boy.
Oh, wow. Did you ever get to eat any of his food?
Sure. I worked for 3 years with him in a restaurant.
Oh, that's fascinating. I'd much rather talk about that than the schools.
I'll send you a picture of him with Escoffier.
We're going to get cut off.
Yeah, do.
All right,
I
will.
You're remarkable.
Oh, come on. All right, we got to run. I'll talk to you
all
soon.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. And to everybody, God bless all of you. And I'm welcome. I'm always here. If the phone doesn't, leave a message for me, absolutely, because I got so many robocalls, I don't pick the phone up, okay?
Good girl. Okay. Good night.
All right. Bye.
Night.